Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. This is the Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Trader Cobb Crypto Show. It's an absolute pleasure and honor to have the guests that I have coming up. But before we get there, I want to let you know that today's show is sponsored by TraderCobb.com. You can go across to TraderCobb.com and get your trading education for the sphere of crypto by joining up to the free bi-weekly video newsletter. Today's guest, Sean Conway, is from an amazing project. He's the founder and president of Exo. Now, Sean, I can't do your introduction any justice, so therefore, I will welcome you to the show. Thank you for being here and allow you to introduce yourself, mate. Go for it.
Hi, it's wonderful to be here and greetings from Cape Town. And I'm super excited to be talking to you about Exo, which is the blockchain for impact. And our motto is to count what matters and value what counts. And I hope we can get into a discussion about that.
But I absolutely love that little phrase that you've just coined there. It's a phenomenal one with a huge amount of power backing that. So obviously, from my point of view, Sean, I've had a good chat with you leading into this show. I've got a little bit of understanding for who you are, your background, where you've come from, what you've worked on, and what you see as your compass of the world. I would really appreciate it, Sean, if you could let the listeners know a little bit about your background, what you've done, why you've done it, and how you've actually become who you are within this industry right now as we speak.
Great. Well, I started life as a medical doctor, so kind of really interesting journey to this point. And quite early on in my career, I was working in South Africa where we were confronted with this massive HIV/AIDS epidemic that was on the horizon. And that took my career in a very different path, which was towards setting up large-scale responses to funding, to delivering, and to evaluating and advocating for global health initiatives such as the treatment of HIV and AIDS and TB and malaria, and then sort of more broadly into international development. You know, so tracking how capital gets applied to achieve the goals that are necessary for us to move forward as a sustainable species on this planet. And so my experience has really been quite broad and rich, but really I would say thematically, I've always been a bit of a data geek, and I've always believed in the power of information and data to enable us to optimize how we do things, and particularly how we allocate resources such as capital towards achieving the greatest impact.
Okay, so Why bring your life's work, which is you're doing helping people, being a doctor, why are you here on the blockchain? Like, help us to understand why this specific third arm of the internet, this technology, why are you here, and how does that extend your reach and help more people?
Yeah, so I guess to tell this backstory on that, we have to go back almost exactly 10 years ago. I was working as an advisor to the UK government's Department for International Development, which is the aid organization. And it was around the time of the financial crisis, so back in 2008. And I was asked to give a presentation by a conference about the new technologies that were available, the web 2.0 and social media. You know, so this is kind of similar to how we have the new technologies of web 3.0 and the blockchain technologies now. And at this conference, I was asked to present about how these new technologies could be used to have much greater impact in the world. And so my presentation was really focused on decentralization and on giving ordinary people and the people who are direct stakeholders in projects much greater economic say in how capital gets allocated and how the results get used and improve the benefits that accrue to people. And so this was a great idea. Of course, Web 2.0 wasn't able to make it happen. The technologies turned out to be not quite as versatile as I thought they might be. And so fast forward to 2013, when I discovered Bitcoin, it all suddenly came together. And so what we're implementing today is really the set of ideas that I spoke about in 2008, but just with some different terminology. So I spoke about a system of credits. We now have tokens. You know, I spoke about share stakeholders. We now have token curation, and we have token holders. And so pretty much the same ideas, but just now being made very much possible by Web 3.0 and blockchain technologies.
So you were into the blockchain sphere at a very early stage. I mean, let's be honest, 2013 was basically the embryonic stage of where we are now. There's been a huge implementation, a huge growth and adoption of the blockchain community. And it is now the hot word, as much the same as .com was back in the mid-90s. So my interest is how a doctor comes into this space, realizes the technological advancements, visualizes and sees the benefits from this, and then creates something in Exo. So where does the doctor, the tech expert, and the blockchain industry, how does it come together? How does that morph? What is it that you're trying to achieve here?
So really, this is about understanding the value of data. And the data technologies that we've had available to us under Web 2.0 have really been suboptimal. I speak about the data being very low definition, about being scarce, about being inaccessible because it sits in centralized data stores and so on. And so in working in the global health and international development space, there's always been a rhetoric and a sort of a desire to implement, you know, a shared data resource, data for development. There's always been a desire to bring information into programs so that you know whether the programs are working or not. There's always been a desire to try and prove that the investments that are being made are actually yielding results. And I've been very much within the within that context, you know, running programs and trying to implement data-driven initiatives that would achieve those desires, but really finding that mostly that would fall flat. And so when I discovered these new technologies, and it's become really exciting because it's not only about blockchain, it's also about new standards for the decentralized web. So for instance, the fact that the new web will have an identity layer that is not non-existent in the Web 2.0, that the new web is a web of value that can people can exchange value, that you can basically flow value from person to person like you would email a person, which is what blockchain technology gives us. And so bringing these technologies together gives us an opportunity to completely change the playing field around how data gets used, how it gets valued, how it gets traded, and how it really becomes the driver of what is becoming a really fast-growing impact economy. And so this is really exciting, you know, and so just kind of having spotted that potential, it was a no-brainer for me that we needed to be building on this. I thought it would be a lot easier than it's turned out to be, and that's a whole other story. we started with Ripple and have ended up building our own blockchain. So that's over, you know, a five-year period, and it's been quite a journey.
Wow.
During that time, we've had opportunities to implement real-world projects. So this is not all just pie in the sky and kind of playing around with technology. This has been really driven by real-world use cases and real needs on the ground.
Okay, so tell me one thing, right? I love what you're about, sure. I love what you're doing. I love what you're trying to achieve, and I wish you all the best of luck doing it. But my listeners here, the people that you've got the voice of right now, these are investors. These are intelligent human beings. They're not just investors for capitalist sake. They're not just after money. These are people that are looking to mold the world and make a buck at the same time. But there's also projects that we'll invest in that won't make us a dollar, but it might help the way we move forward. What I'd like to understand is this purely a philanthropic endeavor, or is there an upside to this for people that want to get involved in your project too?
This is very much about an economic opportunity and a business opportunity, or many business opportunities related to that. So if we just take the existing financial flows that go into the aid sector. We're talking about $1.3 trillion a year that is mobilized by the international donor community and the traditional mechanisms that have been there. Add to that commitments to climate financing, it's about another $700 billion. That is only really a small part of what is needed to achieve the global goals for sustainable development by 2030. And so what is happening is a shift towards capital being allocated towards social, environmental, and economic outcomes that are pursuant to these global goals. And that is an opportunity unprecedented in terms of the amount of capital that is flowing. And this capital is coming from traditional investors who previously might not have thought about sustainability, because sustainability has proven to be better investment. It gives better returns, better financial returns. It includes the big insurers who are realizing that actually if you invest in mitigating the insurance risks and de-risk projects directly, you can avoid having to insure those away and externalize the risks. And it's coming from the large pension funds and sovereign wealth funds. And then if we look at the surveys that have been taking place amongst the youth, the percentage of youth who say that making an investments that have positive social and economic and environmental returns is important.
Making an investment in the future, right?
Right. And so I think the latest survey, and these have been annual surveys that have been conducted, is that 90% of respondents under the age of 25 say that it would be part of their decision making whether their investment goes into positive impact or not.
I think that's a huge thing. I mean, for me, Sean, and many of the listeners on the show will know that part of my investment strategy, investment, not trading, because I'm a trader, but investment strategy, I like to invest in the next generation. So it's only just been in the last few years that I've become the generation above the next generation. So I'm not an old man. I'm not a young man. I sit right in the middle, right? I'm 34 years old. I'm not going to put an extra year on my head just for the sake of it. But what I see the opportunity in is a demographic. If you invest in a demographic, you invest in a voting force. And we're seeing what we have titled as the millennials as being a major voting force. These are people that have confidence. Now, rightly or wrongly, they have a voice and they use their voice. And the millennials are a large number of the population. They're a huge voter population. They're a hugely tech savvy population. I mean, this is the generation that grew up with a mobile phone in their hand and Facebook and all the other things. For my generation, we started with ICQ, with the we started with the MSN Messenger. Now, the whole world has changed in such a massive way that I'm left behind and I'm still a part of that world. This millennial force that's coming forward, they're voting with their money. They're voting with obviously their vote, but they're also voting with a thing called credibility. They want to see the world change. We live in a world of the internet, right? A world of mass information. Now, a lot of the information can be false, can be real. Sometimes there's over information. We can't make decisions because there's analysis paralysis. But I truly believe in investing in the future of our species. And that future right now is the educated masses of millennials. Now, I think that your project really taps into that because it's not just for a capitalist greed perspective. It's not just about making money. It's about understanding what we can do to better our species. I know that's a very broad statement, but there's a lot of projects out there that are just about making money. Let's be honest, Sean, there are. Now, I'm all for those as an investor, but I'm more interested in the projects that can help to move us forward, to help, to empower, to educate people. And it sounds to me like what you're doing at the moment is you're working on a combination of the three. Now, as complex as that may sound, and I know that it must be difficult to try and explain that, I really encourage the listeners to explore that in more detail. Do you find it difficult because what you're doing it is relatively complex, Sean. You're trying to bridge a few gaps. What sort of hurdles have you come across to this point in trying to educate, bring together, and bring those things together in a happy harmony?
Yeah, so I guess the first thing is that I find that people either have a charity mindset when you talk about sustainability, and they immediately.
But you're not a charity, right? You're not a charity.
We're not charity at all. In fact, I didn't think so. I'm absolutely all for big-hearted people, but I have great cynicism around charity because I think it's a waste of money unless you know what you're actually getting. Yeah. If we think about some of our practical projects, take the South Pole. South Pole is an organization that's been around for 15 years. They're the largest originator of carbon credits. They sell those credits on the wholesale market to many of the big brand names that we interact with. Now they have a challenge in what it costs to actually originate those credits, those measures, basically data that comes from let's say planting trees or from small scale hydroelectric plants that communities run, and turning those into tradable commodities. And so we're working with them to tokenize the data that comes from IoT devices. So a great example is fantastic hydroelectric projects in Laos, where communities get together and they install and they run hydroelectric renewable energy production. Now the IoT device is sending off data, but it's really difficult to prove that the energy is actually being produced in that way without sending an auditor to go and inspect those projects and make sure that they meet the criteria. Now we can completely turn that on its head through tokenization and through using data oracles that can provide verification of the data. And so without going into too much detail at this point, the ICSO protocol is really about taking data, which we can call raw data, and enabling it to go through a trusted evaluation process, which transforms the data from being untrusted, you don't know whether the claim is true or not, to having a very high level of confidence that this claim is true and has been verified by a software agent. And that is then valuable, verified data that can be tokenized, tokens can be traded, and the underlying data can be shared, and there's a data marketplace around that. These are all very, very valuable components that capture value within the value chain that has, up until now, really not been captured very well. It's huge lost economic opportunities. So we're really excited about the economic value of this protocol and the marketplace that this is going to generate.
I get that. I hear that. I understand that. And I agree with that. And in all honesty, I mean, what you're trying to achieve is admirable. It's not just admirable that we're looking for on this show. We're looking for innovators. We're looking for people that are trying to create something that is beyond just, I mean, look, capitalism is fine. Make money is fine. But money doesn't help. It helps me. It helps you. It helps the people that are involved in their own life. But I'm really interested more so in the growth that we can give to, it sounds silly, but there's a lot of projects within crypto that we can grow what we as a species understand. Like there's different things where we can get voting on a blockchain, so it's not going to be hacked. There's a lot of things that we can do. And Sean, I've really enjoyed listening to your vision as to what you're trying to achieve. What I'd like to do as a last question is to basically just ask flat out, what is it? What's your final goal? Now, I know a final goal is very difficult. You're in a tech company. You're growing your business. It's very difficult to get a final resolution. But at what point will you be happy to go, we have achieved our objective? What is it you're trying to achieve that will make you satisfied?
So we're moving very, very quickly, as fast as we can, to establishing a global network that provides the infrastructure. I call it the data infrastructure for the impact economy. So this is setting up hubs around the world, and we already have a number of them coming online. So whether it's 100 or 200 or 1,000, that will run the blockchain that enables applications to be built on that. And I would like to see as many of the impact projects that are being funded and invested in running on this new standard, because then we have true interoperability and we have a real picture of what's going on, whether that's at a global level or right down to a local level, because the blockchain provides a shared impact ledger for all these projects to be registered, indexed, and for their performance to be tracked. And so this truly is going to be an infrastructure for this economy that needs to come together very quickly in order to achieve the goals that have been set for 2030. And so really, so far, the traction has been incredible. We've got amazing partners and you know, big name organizations, and as well as a lot of local software companies and small and medium enterprises, startups that are really raring to go to take this blockchain and start implementing it and building applications on top of the blockchain. So you can think of this almost kind of like the Ethereum for the impact blockchain.
Well, Sean, it's been an absolute pleasure, mate. I want to obviously ask you to explain to the listeners how they can find more information, where they can find more information, and how they can get involved. And also, if there's anything, if you're looking for certain key staff members or people to be involved, let us know. How can people get involved with your project?
So we are going live with our beta release of the platform at the end of this month, so just in a couple of weeks' time. And we'll be starting a big membership recruitment drive where we want people to join up. We want them to become part of this global network, because this enables everybody to participate. So whether you participate as an investor in projects, start up your own projects, or become a stakeholder on the projects that you really believe in, this provides you with that opportunity. I also believe that by being part of this initiative, you will be able to have conversations with your family, with your friends, and with your work colleagues about things that really matter. And so this is a really exciting way to get involved in this new economy. So even if it's just as a member and not as a project implementer, or if it's all the way through to implementing projects and making serious investments, we want you to get on board. So the starting point for this is really join up as a member, either as an individual member or as a corporate member. And that'll be going live at the end of the month. And it'll provide all of the members with an opportunity to get an airdrop of IXO tokens once we do our token generation later in the year. And the membership comes with a whole range of other benefits. And so really, that's a great starting point. This is about getting involved in a movement, but it's not just a movement that is about words. This is a movement that's really about practical actions and economic power.
Well, you heard it first. This is Sean Conway here. He is the founder and president of IXO. This gentleman has done a lot in his previous life as a doctor and now is in the same space looking to help and empower people across the globe with the project. Now, if you want to find out more information, you need to get across to the website. It's IXO.foundation. You can find out more information there. Is there anywhere else that they can find more? Sean, are you on Twitter, Facebook, anything like that?
I think you will find us all over. And really what I would encourage the listeners to do is we have a two-minute video, and I know that you watched it earlier.
Let me just step in here, Sean. Sorry, let me just step in here at this point. So I'm sorry to interrupt you, Sean. But guys, this video, it's a fantastic representation of the project. I mean, every project needs to have their media. We understand that. They're trying to sell a product. This particular video really strikes to the core of what this is all about. Now, if there's one thing that I can encourage all listeners to do is to go to the website, and I just went to IXO.foundation, IXO.foundation, and you'll find the website, sorry, the video right there. You scroll down and you watch that video. Now, that video makes you feel warm and fuzzy inside. It gives you the vision, the understanding as to what they're trying to achieve with this project. Now, I'll tell you one thing. I spoke with Sean for 40 minutes before we started this show, and the reason that I spoke to Sean for 40 minutes before we started this show is because I watched that video. That is how powerful the video is, I recommend everybody goes to the website and watches that video because it will strike a chord within you. Now, once they've watched that video, Sean, how do they reach out and what do they do?
Well, we're going to put a subscription box directly below that video, and you put in your email address there and you'll receive a personalized invitation to join the network, become a member, and find out more about how you can take action.
Well, Sean, it's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you for sharing your vision. Thank you for being in the space. Thank you for doing what you've done prior to this. You've been a massive advocate for helping people throughout. I mean, HIV, AIDS, TB, health, like there's so much that you've done that we as a human race need to be thankful for, it, whether it directly affects us or indirectly. We as a species are together as one. And I think that's what blockchain, cryptocurrency, and this space does, is it helps to bring people together. And what you're doing within this space not only brings us together, but it gives us a voice within your innovative use of the blockchain technology. So thank you so much for being on the show today, Sean. Guys, you know where to find more about Sean. He's told you where to go. If you need to listen to the show again, please do. Don't forget that this show is brought to you by TraderCobb.com, where you can find all of your trading education. Jump across to TraderCobb.com and join up to the bi-weekly free video newsletter. Guys, make sure you get across and listen to more about what Sean has to say. Find out more. Have a good day.
The Trader Cobb Crypto Podcast. Check out TraderCobb.com because experience matters.